It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name's Jordan Parhar, and I'm here with you once again to talk BB Can 4 on a Wednesday night to discuss everything going on in the BB Can Grand. And with me today are two guests to help break it all down. One is a good buddy of mine from my old playing days in the house. He is somebody who is well-known, really, I mean, for some big, bold moves. Famously, there was a triple eviction, and he used a veto, and everyone thought, oh my gosh, what is this guy doing? Nowadays, he's known as he's an insider. He breaks information about Big Brother Canada. He was the man behind the Cassandra Jared thing. They call him Schefter. It's Bruno Aiello, ladies and gentlemen. Bruno, how are you?
What's up? What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me, JP. That's awesome.
No worries, man. Bruno, do you know who Adam Schefter is?
Not a clue, man.
Okay, to set this up, we were talking. Rob Cesternino was asking me a few weeks ago, how does Bruno know all this information? I said, I don't know. He just does. He's just a man with sources. And Adam Schefter is like the big NFL insider, Bruno. So like anytime, okay. Like when Peyton Manning retired and stuff like that, he was the guy who knew if there's any like big trades or anything. He just knows. He's plugged in. He just has connections, knows people. So, you know, you're the Big Brother equivalent of that, Bruno. So,
all right, I'll take it.
There you go. Bruno knows what's up. second, and last but not least, I think this is his first time by himself on the Happy Hour this season, at least. He's been taking a look at the live feeds, keeping us posted on that, and he will let us know what is happening later on in the show. And that is Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
That's right, Jordan. Yeah, it must be Big Brother season again because we're talking about smearing blood on our faces like war paint again. I think Dallas knows who James is. What do you think?
Yeah, well, he said in his preseason interview, he's like, yeah, James is like one of my favorites. I'm going to be just like James. And there you go. He's trying to get the war paint on him. I don't know if he's going to be as popular as James at the end of this thing, but hey, you know, can't hurt to try, right?
Bless him, he's trying.
He's trying, and we can't fault him for that. Although, got to give him credit, the dance after that veto competition tonight, the celebration, I mean, that was the Beast from the East? That was pretty cool. I like that. Anyway, let's set up this for you guys tonight. So we're going to be talking about the episode. We're going to break that down for you first, so no spoilers. We won't tell you what's happening on the feeds or exactly who's going home yet. Later on in the show, we'll give you an update, though, and then we will take your questions. We want to hear from you guys, so we are monitoring the chat on robiswebsite.com. It's over on this side of my screen, as you guys can see me looking, but you can also send a question to us as well. Two ways you can do that. The best way is to click on the YouTube video. Leave a comment. That is the best way to leave your questions. You can also, though, go to Twitter. You can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. And you can tweet us using hashtag RaHappyHour and type in your question there. We'll be able to get into those later on in the show. Okay, Bruno, let's just jump right into this thing, man. We saw the top story tonight. Dallas really wants to make a big move. He really wants to. He wins the veto, so everyone's thinking, okay, he's going to use this thing. He said he was going to do it. He said he wanted to shake things up. And he decides not to use it. What do you think about this whole Dallas situation? Talking a big game, but ultimately deciding not to do anything about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a little confusing because I think, you know, he says he's not afraid to get blood on his hands. He had his shot. This was his shot, his chance to make the move. There was nothing Jared could do to defend it, you know. Maybe they had a talk that I'm not aware of. Maybe she wasn't willing to put him up. Maybe she was going to put someone up in his alliance. I don't know. I don't know what the backstory is. But if you, you know, when you have the veto, it's your right to use it or not. Nobody's going to tell you to use it or not. And these are the things, like, I'm a big believer in use the veto. You know, you make friends when you use it, and it's a good way to improve your game. Jared's his biggest threat. He keeps talking about it. He's obsessed with him. Here's your shot, man. Take it. So I don't know why he didn't do it. you know, especially after he gave LaVita so much, you know, flack for not putting him on the block and all that stuff. So it's really confusing why he didn't use it.
Now, Alex, you can actually fill us in. What was the situation? Unfortunately for Dallas, this was not a diamond power veto. So even if he would have used it, he couldn't choose who would go up on the block. So let's say he uses it. Let's say he did decide to go rogue and save Christine. Would LaVita have gone through with the Jared plan, or was she looking elsewhere?
I think the whole fear and the whole reason he didn't do it is because you really don't know what LaVita is going to do. It's very hard to pinpoint her on anything. I think one thing that seems pretty clear is that she really adamantly would not have put up Jared. That if he had insisted, there was a lot more back and forth that we didn't see on the episode where basically, I mean, I don't know that she ever came out and threatened to put Maddie up if he went through with it, but there was certainly the fear that it would have been Maddie. And Dallas doesn't really have anyone in the house except Maddie, so that's kind of like a real deal breaker for him. And like that's really the problem, is that he couldn't get LaVita to come around to his way of thinking on any terms. And basically it just got to a point where she felt confronted and borderline bullied, and you know, you're not getting through to somebody at that point. And if you go ahead and act anyway, then there's a real danger it's just gonna like fall, everything's just gonna fall apart.
Dallas is playing this game very aggressively, and at the same time he hasn't really done much with all of the talk that he's thrown out there. Bruno, what do you think about Dallas's game so far, and do you think that this guy has a chance of making it to jury?
Yeah, this guy's game is all over the place. It, you know, it reminds me almost like our buddy Greg. You know, he's very aggressive and out there. He tells people his targets flat out, which isn't really the greatest move because, you know, word does get around in that house. He kind of has the right idea, I find, sometimes. Like, he gets it, but then, you know, he blabs his mouth, or, like, he's just too aggressive with it. But I think he gets the game a little bit. He's just not subtle enough for it, and I think that's what's going to cost him. I don't see him making – I think once, you know, basically Jared is his biggest enemy. He's Jared's biggest enemy. It's just a matter of who's going to get that shot first. And I think that's why, you know, Dallas was so upset. You know, because he wants LaVita to do his dirty work by putting Jared up, you know, when in reality, she didn't need to because she's making friends and, you know, she knows they're going to go after each other. So why is she going to do someone else's dirty work when she could have done a safe job like she did? I thought her nominations were perfect. I thought it was a great move. And, you know, doing what she did, she gained trust on one side. The other side's still not going to come for her because, you know, they're going to go after Jared and Kelsey. So you know what? It's a move that bought her more time, and in that house, all you need is time. The more time you have, the more you know, time you have to work with people and get close to people and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a great move, and Dallas's gameplay, I'm not feeling it too much.
Christine was calling Dallas a big daddy on the feeds today. I don't think Bruno will be calling him that anytime soon based off of that. Neither will I, although I was calling him Daddy Dallas in the preseason thanks to the nickname Willow gave him. Alex, Bruno brings up an interesting point. Now it seems like, you know, LaVita actually is in, it appears to be, at least from the edited TV show, a decent position because people are not as angry as they were at least at the start of this week and at the start of this episode. Is that the case on the feeds? Is that translated? Are people cool with LaVita without getting into it too much, or is she going to be in hot water again next week?
I think it'll be interesting to see, and I think it definitely depends on who wins HOH, of course. I think, you know, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's staying kind of vague, I think it really is a factor of, like, you know, while she did a lot this week in terms of kind of securing herself maybe as not public enemy number one, she also kind of, you know, painted herself as a bit of, and in fact, no, you know, people didn't do her any favors by, you know, like the way they reacted to her nominations, the way Dallas said her nominations were bad. I mean, she's starting to get this reputation in the house as kind of like a bit of a joke, you know what I mean? And so the problem is, like, you can last like that, but it's going to be tough to win if you maintain that reputation. So I think that's something that she's going to have to worry about more so. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know that what she has done has ultimately left her as bad as it probably should have.
Yeah, right? Because coming in, I mean, when she won, when she didn't go, she could have gone for Jared and Kelsey. And a lot of people were saying she should have. And who knows? Maybe that is the correct move. We'll see at the end of this thing how it turns out, because Jared and Kelsey could easily turn around next week and gun for her. But looking good right now for LaVita, at least.
Can I just add something there, JP?
Yeah, go ahead.
So what I'm going to say here is she had nobody, right? She lost Sherry. She had nobody. The Maddie, Dallas, and Ramsey side, they don't really care for LaVita. She didn't have anybody locked in, and she still doesn't. I'm not going to say Jared and Kelsey are, you know, with her, but it does open that door. And you know what? It does show. Listen, you saved me. Let's not go back and forth. Let's just stop this right now. Let's cut the chain of events and let's move on. And you know what? I'm not going to say it's going to bring her to the end, but you know what? If Jared wins or Kelsey wins, I'll tell you right now, he's not going to put LaVita up. If he does, it'll just be a pawn. But I don't think, like, they're not going to target her anymore. I think it was a great, great move. I think it's very underrated. And people talk about, like, I hear that this big move, oh, it's time to make a big move. I hate hearing that because people have this complete, like, misconception of the big move. They think, oh, get Jared up is a big move. No. You know what? By not putting Jared up was actually a huge move because it gains trust. Everyone's scared of this guy. Everyone, that's a big, big move. Having that conversation is a big, big move, you know? And people just, they don't realize how big it is. But sometimes it's just having that little conversation is a huge move. But, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's huge. And I'm telling you right now, I think this move is gonna buy her a lot of time. I think it's going to buy her some time for sure.
So. Being open to stuff is huge, really, in that game. Adaptability. And, Bruno, you know that firsthand, right? I mean, you're somebody who was gunning for Zach in BB Camp 3. And as soon as you realize, you know what, maybe, you know what, we need to turn things around because I'm going to be in trouble if he goes away.
Absolutely.
You use the veto on him. Everybody goes nuts. And who knows what would have happened if it weren't for those twistos, which are not around this season, Bruno. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Man, why didn't I come on this season, you know?
I wonder the same thing too, my friend. It's those twistos, man. They got so many people in that game. Alex, the Jared Kelsey dynamic as well, and Raul, the third wheel. Are they still talking a lot of crap about LaVita, or have they kind of cooled with that a little bit?
To a degree, and you know, I mean, Bruno makes a good point that I don't think Jared. You know, Jared really does want to play a straight up game. I mean, he's made that very clear. And I think, you know, he wants to be able to keep his game easy in the sense that if I don't tell any lies, I don't have to remember, like, what I told and to whom. So I don't think he would nominate LaVita. I definitely think there's a chance if Kelsey were to win HOH or Raul were to win HOH that they would go back on the word potentially. And that's why I think, you know, if she was to target somebody for a blindside, I don't think Jared was the right call. I think if you're really trying to convince her to go after one in that threesome, that it should be Kelsey, because not only is Kelsey the one that has been most gung-ho about targeting her and was unwilling to forgive her in week two, but really, I mean, when you look at Big Brother, you have to look at it from relationship standpoints. And you don't just think of, like, this three, okay, there are three. You have to think about the social dynamics within the three. And really, Kelsey is the fulcrum of that relationship more than anyone else there. If you remove Kelsey, you know, it's not a guarantee that Jared and Raul don't become a tight two. But it's possible that Jared starts to gravitate towards kind of the other dude bros that are out there that he already has kind of something going on the down low with. And Raul starts to gravitate towards the other people he has conversations with, like Mitch and some of the other girls in the house. And before you know it, that's no longer even a thing. It's taking care of itself because you took out the middle person. So I think there's something to be said for that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I've loved this season, really, because you just lay that all out there, Alex. I mean, there's so many. That's what's so great about Big Brother, right? Is one move can just change so many different things, and I'm loving it. It's great. It's phenomenal. Let's talk about Christine this week. Okay, so Christine is staying on the block. Cassandra is staying on the block. Bruno, what did you think about Christine's attitude going through this episode? We saw her in the veto competition. She was telling LaVita, she's like, shut up, LaVita, shut up. She's like, oh, what did she said something else too. I think she was like, whatever, I don't care. And she's just like so bitter, Bruno. I mean, mind you, you were never on the block for really an extended period of time, but I don't imagine I don't imagine that you would have behaved like that if you were.
No, you got to be very careful in the house. You know, you're on the block, you're vulnerable. Like, people can tell you you're safe, you're not safe, whatever. you gotta, you know, bite your tongue. You gotta play the game. And I think that's the problem. Is she's not playing the game, and she's just gonna say what comes to her mouth. You know, what comes to her mouth first. She's gonna just, and that's not the way to play. I mean, you know, it rubs people the wrong way. And I don't like that kind of attitude. I don't like the, you know, just. You can be upset, but just, you know, I don't like that attitude that that she's going, you know, telling her to shut up and blah, blah, blah. I'm not into that stuff, though. That's not what I'm about.
Right? I mean, come on. It's a little unnecessary, Christine. I mean, sure, fine. Go in the diary room and say that. That's fair game. But in the competition, I mean, like, you're in the middle of a comp. Like, focus on winning the comp. Don't just be like, oh, shut up, LaVita. It's just like, yeah. Come on. Like, Alex,
yeah,
Alex, what, you know, before this competition, was Christine doing similar types of things? Because we saw her going to the bathroom after the nominations, and she was saying, oh, what an idiotic move. I can't believe she should make big moves. That's what she should make. There you go, Bruno. There's another person who thinks that. But, Alex, was that really what she was doing?
Yeah, I mean, Christine is interesting in that, you know, she thinks she's playing, I think, more of a game than she is. And I don't know where she thinks she is that, like, you know, because I'm just not seeing. She spent a lot of this weekend in bed. And, like, then also it's just, yeah, I mean, she's very opinionated, and she definitely, you know, like she's not, I mean, she's present, you know what I mean? Like, she has some connections, but at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, she definitely is abrasive. She definitely says things to many people that just kind of rub them the wrong way, and I don't know if it's just a disconnect in terms of age or just kind of, like, style, but, you know, it's interesting that, like, her and Maddie seem to be kind of the most similar, and they're, like, the two furthest apart, really, almost in terms of age.
Now, Bruno, there was a rumor last season started by Sarah Hanlon that you were Zach Olenek's father. Is there a chance that Maddie is Christine's daughter?
100%, man. That's it. I'm breaking the news. What did you call me? Schefter?
Schefter.
Yeah, I'm
Schefter.
Breaking the news, man. That's it right there.
Yeah. All right, guys. Breaking news. Maddie is Christine's daughter. You heard it here first. Bruno Aiello broke the story. You can tweet that out. Tell Hamster Watch. Tell everyone. Bruno's got the intel.
No. I'm going to tell you something about Christine's game that drives me nuts, man. You know, all I keep hearing her say is, you know what, I have no alliances, I'm by myself, I have no game. You know, don't tell people that. That's the one thing, you know, what are you doing, man? Like, this is one thing I find about the season. Everyone's just like, hey, this is my strategy, you know? Like, hey, look at me. What are you doing, man? Like, oh, I have nobody in this house. Listen, you're trying to be a Godfrey? Don't broadcast it, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to be Godfrey? Be Godfrey, you know? Just, or be Christine, better, you know, better yet. But, you know, she's like, I have no alliances. Don't look at me, you know. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing? You know, that's all I've ever heard her say. So, and she lies in bed all day. That's all I see. So, game point. Yeah, there's nothing there. I don't see much there from her. So, if she goes home, the house isn't really missing much. So,
well, we will see. We'll get into it when we get into the live feed portion. I was gonna say that's a very astute point, though. Godfrey Manguiza, when he's playing Big Brother, yes, he goes around. People know he has no alliances. They knew. When really, he kind of had to deal with you and stuff. But
yeah,
really,
we were tight.
You guys were tight. But for the most part, Godfrey was a lone wolf. But Godfrey didn't go around being like, yo, I'm a lone wolf.
Yeah,
nobody's going to get me, yo. I mean, I'm by myself. No, Godfrey just did his own thing because he was confident in knowing he was by himself. And he didn't feel insecure about having to tell people, hey, guys, like, I'm by myself. No, Godfrey was confident in his position. That's what you do. It's the same thing, you know. It's like a lot of times players will be like, oh well, no, I don't have any alliances at all. Like, no, I haven't made any deals. When it's like, okay, well, come on, I've seen you.
Yeah,
I've seen you talking to four people. I know you've got alliances. So it's just interesting these different strategies this season. Like you said, a lot of these players are playing it a little bit differently, at least than they did in BB Can 3, mm-hmm. but. In my opinion, this season has been way better than BB Can 3 for that alone. Alex, what do you think about this? I've talked about this a lot so far. Would you put BB Can 4 ahead of BB Can 3? I know it's still early on.
Yeah, but I don't know if I think it's so much. You know, you talked about it a little bit with Taryn. I think I don't think it's the cast so much as the fact that they're really just kind of like letting the players play, which is what I'm all about. You know what I mean? Let the players play.
Yeah.
The game is fine. The game engine is perfect as is. Twists are unnecessary. You know, like one every now and again to spice up the game, fine. But you know, instant HOH week two, vote reveal the next. You know what I mean? Like one every week is way too much, and it really did disrupt the flow of the game in my mind. You know?
Yeah.
So that being said, like. I do think it's interesting that, and like, I think it is kind of like results oriented thinking to say that, like, because this group is kind of more seemingly has like a lower BBIQ, I guess is a nice way of putting it, seemingly, that like it makes for better television. I don't know that it's necessarily that, like I was saying, but I do think it is interesting. Like, there's an element of like watching you guys is kind of like watching a poker game. And, like, watching this is almost like watching people play Go Fish, where they're, like, showing each other their cards, like, you got any eights? Like, they're like, oh, no, let me see, what are you working with? Okay, no, you need to go talk to him. You know what I mean? It's just, and so, obviously, like, things keep changing on a dime, because everyone knows what everyone's working with. It is pretty, it's fascinating on just a different level.
That's a good point. The way I see it, it's more like, you know, it's this year it doesn't seem like Big Brother. It seems more like the real world, you know, where they put in more like personalities that are going to clash. They wanted that kind of stuff rather than gamers, you know, rather than game players that are strategically there to, like you said, our season made a lot of good players. You know, not taking anything away from these guys, but I think they're in there more for the entertainment value, and I think that's what they're going for. You know, they get booze every couple of nights, like, you know, they're just at the pool table, like, just got a lot of things that just add to that, you know, where they want the entertainment rather than maybe gameplay. I don't know. I mean, I'm not there for decision making, but it's like, you know, to me, it looks like it's more of the real world than Big Brother. So.
One thing that Alex talked about was the idea of the vote showing. I actually kind of liked that because it gave us one of the greatest moments of our season, Bruno. I'm sure you remember when Greg was – Neha was like, Greg, that's not how you spell my name. And Greg's like, I ain't good at spelling.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite lines right there.
Oh, man, if we could only get Dallas this season doing that with, I don't know, maybe Ramsey or something, that would be amazing. Okay, let's talk about the other nominee right now, Cassandra. Bruno, we saw Cassandra got nominated, you know, despite the fact that she was pretty good to Levita last week. She made some, you know, she reached out to her when Levita was in trouble. She tried to, you know, mend that bridge and try to reach out to her and help her out when she was on the block. And after the HOH competition, we hear her call Levita a dumb bitch. So yep. Levita's like, all right, well, I'm going to put you on the block. Sorry about that. What do you think about Cassandra's game so far? I know Cassandra is really making it seem like the dumb bitch comment was a joke, but what do you think about that?
I'll tell you what I think on that. I think because she's playing the middle, or she's trying to play the middle, I think she said that to appease the other side of the house, you know, to make her think like, oh man, you know, like I'm not happy she won. But I think, you know, she meant it. She did mean it. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, Cassandra's game actually isn't that bad. You know, she's pretty good. If you watch the feeds and stuff, she's a pretty good player. What she's getting on the show may not show what she's doing, but it's her mouth. Her mouth's going to get her in trouble. And again, you got to be careful what you say. You know, if you have to vent or something, go to the DR, say it, you know, but when you're out with everybody else, you got to put on that face and, you know, you got to control what you say. It's all about controlling what comes out of your mouth. And that's literally half the battle in that house. You got to be careful what you say and who you say it to. And she just can't control it, it looks like. So.
Yeah, really. I think she's better at it than some people on this season, for sure. But yeah. She certainly could improve at that. And that's definitely a comment you do not want the reigning HOH to hear as soon as she wins. Alex, how has Cassandra handled this nomination so far, at least heading into that veto ceremony?
Well, yeah, I mean, we saw a little bit of it, you know, she definitely was confrontational, you know, I mean, it definitely took her by surprise. I think that while people had started to talk about that she was playing a little bit too aggressively too early on, she wasn't aware that those conversations were taking place, so she was very surprised by the nomination, and she didn't realize she really had any enemies in the house, so, you know, she was really taken aback. And, you know, and then obviously the easy thing to say to her is like, yeah, I know, you know, that's really crazy that Levita put you up. So it just kind of fueled her fire. Yeah. And yeah, she was pretty antagonistic towards Levita for, and it definitely, I think, just, furthered a lot of the issue that Levita has now in terms of kind of credibility as an alliance partner, because, you know, Cassandra came at her with some very convincing points that made Levita start to, like, question her own nominations, and that's a problem because they're done. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go back on them. So I think Levita, you know, I touched on a little bit with Rob when we talked, but who isn't even as important as how you go about doing the nominations? And if you're going to, like, just waffle throughout the process and then even waffle some after the process is over, then whatever goodwill you've secured is almost undone by the indecision that you're showing.
Certainly. I think that's an excellent point. Bruno, let's talk about this. Like, going through your mind, because you've been in HOH before. I have not, unfortunately. What was going through your mind in terms of the how? What is the best way? How do you approach making nominations as, you know, what would you suggest to future players when doing so?
Well, you want to set it up to, and I know it's you know, I hate hearing it, oh, no blood on my hands, but you want to make it as, especially the week I won, week four is a week where it's a very tricky week because you're almost a halfway mark and, you know, lines are drawn and you want to basically make everybody happy. Lucky for me, I had kind of an excuse to put up my nominations. You know, Greg just walked out before me, but you almost have to. It's tough. You got to take out who's your biggest competitor, your biggest threat, and by doing so, you have to also kind of please the house. Remember, it's a solo person's game. And when I did my nominations, it didn't matter who went home for me. They both had to go. They both were competitors of mine that I needed gone out of the house. So I didn't really care who left. Now that's the thing. That's the difference. That's why I put both of them up, because, you know, the house does flip. I've said this many times. You know, the HOH does not have that much power. They have the power to put people up, but the house always has the power to make people go home. They pick who goes home. So when you put two people up, you make sure it's two people that you're comfortable with knowing that they're going to come after you if they're off the block. So when you do your nominations, just, you always have to, because you can't play the next week, obviously, so you got to just make sure you're going to put up someone that's safe that doesn't really have a good chance of winning the next week. So, you know, you're safe for that next week and you can beat the week after. So I don't know. It's tough to explain. It's all situational. My week was kind of easy because of what happened the week before, but it's all situational.
Yeah, I think it's also too tough for Levita just because she screwed up that first one so royally, and she was just coming off of being nominated, so she hasn't really had a chance to breathe yet in this game. It's been go, go, go. It's either you're in power or you're on the block and you're going home and you're the target, so maybe next week if she's safe, and we'll see, who knows, maybe then she can finally collect herself and get back on track. But so far, I think that this is depending, we'll see how the vote goes down tomorrow. I think it's not going to be so bad for her. It could have been worse for sure, especially if Dallas used the veto. So luckily for Levita, she's going to be just fine. At least I think so for now.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we want to talk about here? A couple things. Oh, Alex. So yeah, why don't you chime in?
I was just going to really quickly say one thing I think that is worth pointing out, because I think it's really important about Big Brother, and I think it's just one of these kind of natural things that is often left unsaid about the game, but in the game, good players kind of feel it out. Like, it just kind of comes with the flow of the game. Like, obviously, you can see when you're, you know, watching Bruno do, you know, nominations and stuff that he has it. Like, Vanessa Russo, obviously, when she, like, good players, the moment they win power, they have an idea of where they're going with their nominations. And then they're able to, like, Vanessa needed a reason. You know, that was, like, something we joked about all summer. But it's true. Once you have a reason, or, you know, once you have your idea, you can set about going to work and securing the votes before people even know the hit is coming. The problem with what Levita's done is she waffled for so long, made her ultimate decision, like, at the moment of nominations, and then now both of her weeks, when she's gone to get votes, there's already nominees working on those same numbers. So she has the advantage of time, and she gives it away. So I think that's really important to note.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Poor Levita. I don't know what it is about Levita, but I people are probably going to rip me for this, but I love Levita. I don't know why. She's great TV. She's amazing. So I hope
she's doing great.
Yeah, I hope she's
I'll tell you right now, she seems like she's in a rough spot, but I actually think she's in a good spot. I think, you know, like I said, by helping out that one side of the house, she didn't. She might have pissed off the other side to the point where because they didn't put up their enemy, but the reality is, if Dallas wins head of household, he's not going for Levita. He's going for Jared, Kelsey, Raul. If Jared, Kelsey, Raul win head of household, they're going for Dallas in that side. So, really, yeah, you know, she didn't take out that big player, but that's a big move by not doing that because it just bought her more time. In that house, all you want is time. That's all you want in that house. And she did that. So I don't see anything wrong with her move. Of course, you know, the viewers want to see the, oh, let's get Jared out. They want to see those big plays, but this is Big Brother. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You're there for 10, 12 weeks, whatever it is. You don't want to make the big move today that gets you out next week. That's not how it works. And, you know, the patient players will see that. That's the difference. Is a lot of people say, oh, Jared has to go. This is week three or whatever. They're say that since week one. It doesn't work that way. When his time comes, it'll come. It's not right now. It's maybe next week or the week after. It's just not right now. You gotta wait. And that's the thing, you know?
And that's what's actually, you know, as a fan, I'm hoping that these big players stay in the game because that means the end game is going to be way more exciting. And I feel like that's the point of the game in which it kind of, sometimes it can get a little bit boring because your big dogs tend to go home early a lot of times. I mean, or big personalities, right? Look at, you know, every single season there's been a huge player that's gone home early, right? I mean, season one, you know, Tom and Liza were big threats in the house. They go out. Season two, first five, completely wiped out other than Sabrina and Arlie, essentially. Mm-hmm. Last season, we see, we see Greg, we see Cindy, we see Neha. Get out early. So right, Risha. So I mean, you know, lots of all these big triple personalities. So I'm for one am happy with how things are going. Let's move on from this. Let's talk about a couple other things before we jump into the live feeds, guys. One, this idea of backdooring the brothers. Bruno, should Levita have considered this?
Absolutely. That's a move that I think would have pleased a lot of people. It wouldn't have. You know, they're kind of in the middle somewhere. Again, it would have been able to take these guys out. You know, this twist, everybody knows, you know, like, listen, okay, I'll tell you one thing. These two guys in the house is huge. It's very big. They're in two different rooms at the same time. They're hearing two different conversations at the same time. They're bonding with many more people that, you know, they have, twice the knowledge or everything. Like, you know, it's... They got to get rid of these guys, you know. They have at first it looked like it was a disadvantage, but really it's a big advantage, you know. Like Nick's getting close with what's her name, Maddie.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean I'm sure she's using them and all that stuff, blah blah blah. But still, you know what I mean? She thinks that she has them, right? And stuff like that, where they can have twice as many bonds, and they need to get these guys out because who knows? You know, usually how this twist goes is, you know, they go four or five weeks, they become two separate players, and then look what happened last year in BB 17, where one of them makes it to the final two. So do you really want that person taking your $20,000 check? I don't think so. Get them out now. Don't risk anything. It would have been the right move. I think they should have been backdoored. Even though they're my Ottawa boys, I want them to go far, but let's be real here. We're talking game. They should have been backdoored. They have to get backdoored.
The PAX bros, yeah, I was tweeting on the weekend. I actually had a dream that I became best friends with them, and we were actually at – do you guys have sports day in Ottawa, Bruno, or is that just a BC thing where, like, you do all these – you know, you do, like, the beanbag toss and tug-of-war. I don't know what they would call that.
That's what I know of, man. No idea.
I don't know. Okay, so maybe that's just the British Columbia thing. I don't know. But that was the dream I had, and we were hanging out, and we were, like, in high school. And it was so fun. And Alec Beal tweeted me and said, after I tweeted that, and said, "No, stay away. The PAX bros are my friends." And he tweeted a gif of Gollum from Lord of the Rings. It was very funny. So yeah, Bruno, maybe I'll come hang out with you this summer in Ottawa, and we can all hang out with the PAX bros together. Alex, describe that thing that we saw on the show tonight with the whole Dallas proposing the back door of the brothers, because Taryn broke it down for us on Sunday a little bit. But so it sounds like based on what he said, the show didn't really do it justice tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, it went on for a lot longer, and it definitely escalated because, you know, Dallas went in there thinking, like, you know, I mean, like the show did show, I mean, Dallas had this conversation with several other people, you know, Maddie and Ramsey, most notably, first. And, you know, so he went in there all gung-ho about the idea, you know, thinking not only is this a great plan, but, like, I've got the people on board. All I need to do is just, like, run it by Levita. And then that's a flaw of thinking, too, is that, like, Levita's a pushover. And it, I guess in part because of the nominees she made, she does give off that impression. Like, Jared talked to me last, and he strong-armed me into doing what he wanted. So maybe Dallas can do the same. You know, so it is like you can see why he would think that. At the same time, no, it he went up there and it was bad timing. First of all, she wasn't in the mood to hear it, and the more he went on, he was surprised that she wasn't feeling it, and so he just kind of like didn't come at it from an approach that was effective or would be effective, and just kind of kept pushing against the wall. To a point where eventually it just became very abundantly clear that they were going in circles, that nothing was going to get accomplished. And, yeah, I mean, it really, really wasn't a productive outcome for either of them. And it really is just a weird dynamic, you know, because you've got Levita, like, having these conversations with both sides about backdoor plans. And you've got Maddie, who is tight with Dallas, who's trying to make this deal with Levita. But Maddie doesn't like Levita, but she doesn't like Kelsey. It's such a weird, like, there's so many, like, interesting inner dynamics of dislike this season, which is rare. You know, usually it's like everyone's amenable to working with everyone, but this season you've got some people who are really just like have very few people they're willing to work with, which is an interesting switch.
Yeah, really, really interesting season overall. And just so you guys know, in the chat, we have lost Bruno. He is messaging me, and I think he'll be back shortly, hopefully. But in the meantime, it's just going to be your boy Alex Kidwell and I. So let's keep going with this. One other thing I just wanted to talk about, and why I wanted to bring up the brothers as well, is I really like these guys. Just something about them. I don't know what it is about the brothers that I really love, but one thing that I really enjoy, and what I really enjoyed tonight, is how genuine these guys seem. Nick, I mean, we see him consoling Joel during this moment where Joel is talking about his brother and, you know, how that being the end, being his brother's birthday on the 13th and how important that was to him. That's what I really like about these guys, is they really just seem like just genuine people. But Alex, I will throw that to you. How'd you feel about the whole Joel situation with the whole house getting together and rallying behind him in that moment?
Yeah, yeah, it's really touching. You know, obviously it was a very heartfelt moment, and it's just one of those moments that make you realize that, like, okay, there are these strategy moments in this show and there are these like goofy moments. Like, it is such a cocktail of a show, Big Brother. You know what I mean? You just really do get all aspects of life kind of thrown at you in an hour segment. And it really is like kind of random that you're getting like, you know, wacky stuff. And then out of nowhere, you get this really, really kind of like heartfelt moment with Joel. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's real, and it's, you know, it's cool to see, you know, that, you know, to see the show paint that kind of like show us that side of the house guests and not keep it all so kind of like surfacey and, you know, gimmicky. And then also, you know, obviously from a game perspective, like, it certainly doesn't hurt him to be opening up. Like, we always talk about the guys like Joel, the guys like, you know, you or me, or like Ian Terry, or like the guys that are like, their only real issue is going to be like blending in socially from the get-go. And then once you're in there socially, then you can go to work strategically. This is certainly like the kind of thing that helps Joel do what he's already done a great job of, which is endear himself to this house.
Most definitely. I think he's doing a fantastic job so far, and I'm so proud of Joel. I love this guy so much, and I really hope he wins. I really do. Do I think he can? I don't know. I think he can, but it's going to be interesting to see. At least for now, he's in a good spot, but I know that you, Taryn, and Brent were saying the same thing about me 365 days ago, and we know how that turned out. So, okay.
Don't jinx him.
No, we won't jinx Joel. Okay, Alex, let's jump into the live feed. So if you do not want to know what's been happening on the feeds, now is your chance to tune out. We thank you for joining us this evening. It's been great having you here. Just one thing of note, we will be back not Sunday, but tomorrow. That's right. We're back tomorrow for a special edition of the Happy Hour. We'll be here live after the eviction. I'm on spring break this week, so my schedule has opened up a little bit. So we will be talking about who went home, whether it is Christine or Cassandra, the new HOH, all that kind of stuff. Alex, Brent, and Taryn, they'll be with me all live on Blab. So check that out. Join us after the episode, and there will be no spoilers for that. So you don't have to worry about coming on and hearing about spoilers and that sort of stuff. Okay, Alex, let's get into it. Spoiler time. Who's going home right now? As of this hour, it is 10:54 p.m. on the East Coast. Who's going home, Christine or Cassandra?
Well, Jordan, you know, at this house, it could change 20 more times before we get to the end game. But at this juncture, I think it's looking pretty good for Cassandra.
Cassandra. All right. So she's going to stay. So, I am so happy. And I'm sorry to the Christine fans out there, but I made a bet with Rob on the preview show for BBCam 4, if you don't remember, about Cassandra making the jury. Rob said she wouldn't. And I'm feeling pretty good about this. All right, this is good. So what's the verdict? Is this going to be another split vote, or is it going to be kind of a unanimous deal like it was with Shari?
So it really has been interesting because since, you know, the veto ceremony and everything, it really has been kind of a wave where it looked really good for Cassandra. Obviously, she has the initial, you know, we talked about how she has this alliance, the four aces, where she's kind of joined in with the third wheel. And so she has the backing of the you know, the very vocal Kelsey majority, Kelsey, Jared, Raul group. So, you know, that's obviously her base that she can work from in terms of trying to rally votes. It got to a point where it started to look good for Christine just from the sheer kind of volume of Cassandra's campaigning. She was almost doing so much that it started to work against her. And Christine really was like mostly just doing nothing, mostly laying in bed. And she has kind of, you know, I think now it's kind of begin to, you know, work against her again, but she's kind of let Dallas do most of her campaigning while she's just kind of laid back. And she's just been kind of like chilling with Maddie and kind of taking it easy. And I think ultimately it is backfiring on her because over the last couple of days, you know, Cassandra, you know, people saw her coming out of the woodwork and, you know, saw it as a little bit, you know, of overplaying and desperation, and that, you know, scared them away initially. And, you know, it reminded me of that, you know, Game of Thrones quote, like, you know, power lies where people believe it lies. You know what I mean? Because then, you know, give it some more time and people started to see her as confrontational, and she was having issues with LaVita kind of everywhere they met in the house. And people saw Christine as, you know, this person that, quite honestly, if she's up against you on the block, you know, she's staying. She's not doing anything. She's a pawn. And it is an interesting battle of kind of, you know, LaVita talks about how the house kind of considers them both floaters. But Christine is like the classic, like seemingly like do nothing floater. At least that's the image she has in the house. Whereas Cassandra is like the all over the board. Like she's perceived as like being kind of more of like the Andy Heron type of floater where she has relationships with everyone. Only it's obvious. The difference being that she actually does have people that are tight enough with her that they want to actually work towards keeping her. And I think that's going to be the difference because Christine's people that actually care about her enough to try to work towards keeping her are Dallas, Maddie, and Ramsey, who just, I mean, again, it's another week where they're just like bringing a knife to a gunfight. They just don't seem to have their strategic acumen to keep up with the game as it's moving around them.
Interesting stuff here. Okay, wow. So talk to me about there was one thing on the feeds this week which kind of raised a little bit of controversy. Some people were upset about it. It has to do with Christine. She was talking about Indigenous people in Canada. Alex, did you catch this?
You know, I don't know that I did.
Okay, so I will take over as live reporter for a sec here. Breaking news. So, so apparently there was a little bit of controversy over Christine because because you know what, Tim is great. You know what Tim's doing. He likes to ask questions and get to know people and stuff like that and get to know what Canada is like. So he, Alex, was talking to Christine and asked her, can you explain to me what the Indigenous people of Canada are like? So Christine basically Christine got into it and was telling him about Indigenous people in Canada, our First Nations. And so what she was saying was basically a lot of really ignorant things that kind of raised a stir. I saw on Suzette Amaya's Facebook page, Suzette from season one, who happens to be First Nations. She was very upset about this whole situation. There was several people on Twitter I saw tweeting about this. I don't know if people in the chat saw this either, but just an interesting conversation. And again, Alex, it was Christine and Maddie who were trying to explain to Tim about what the Indigenous people are like, when in reality, they probably they don't really seem to know too much of what's going on.
Yeah, I know the conversation you're referring to now. I actually got away from it because I kind of like it was getting political. And Christine is very vocal and very loud and just very kind of raunchy with her. Like, she really surprised me out of the gate with her kind of like, you know, not just her opinions, but kind of like the way she verbalizes them. So, I mean, I think at that point I saw like there was a conversation going on between two people who actually have some pull in the way the vote's going. And I'm pretty sure I switched over at that point. But yeah, Christine, and she's going to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So hopefully, if Christine goes home, I hope she doesn't get too much backlash. And for you guys listening to this, I don't know if you guys saw this, but you know, Christine is ignorant, sure, and, you know, a lot of people are not big fans of Christine, but people say ignorant things in the house all the time. When you're being filmed 24/7, 7 days a week, you're bound to say something stupid that is going to, you know, make you, you know, that's probably ignorant. We're all ignorant to some extent, right, Alex? I mean, if we're talking, you know, we all are, so nobody's perfect, you know. Fine if you don't like Christine's game, but maybe, you know, there's lots of trolls on the internet that are going to give her hate for this. So it's not worth getting into too much here. But, you
That's
know,
a dangerously, dangerously self-aware observation, Jordan. Just be careful. you're treading in choppy water now.
Yeah, exactly. I will leave it at that. But, you know, well, she getting voted out is enough punishment for this kind of stuff. So, but interesting though, you know, that Christine is the target again, Alex, because now we've seen it. Okay, if we just look at Big Brother Canada history, we've had three people over the age of 40, and every single time three people over the age of 40. Suzette was 39, I think, maybe 37. And every season, this person seems to go home. And here he is. Bruno is back. What's
sorry,
up,
guys, man. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you great, man. So Bruno is back. He's on his phone. And Bruno, just to fill you in, we're just talking about the live feeds. And I actually had a question for Alex, and I'll throw it to you after this. But basically what I was getting into is, you know, these people over 40, every season on Big Brother Canada, they tend to go home pre-jury. Why do you think that is, Alex?
You know, I mean, I really don't know if it's so much kind of like just the average age is so low that you kind of stand out. But I think, you know, I refer to it all the time because I think it's so astute. When, you know, in like the first season of Survivor, you've got Rudy, who is still, you know, tied with Joe this season for the oldest player ever to play, and he says at that point when he's talking about the younger players, like, I'm the one that's going to need to change because there's more of them than there is of me, you know. And I mean, it's a really, really remarkably astute observation, because if you want to, I mean, ideally in a perfect world, yes, you could be yourself and be successful at Big Brother, but the reality is that if you're in a house with people who are all 20 some years younger than you, if you want to succeed in a social game, you have to find some way to relate to people. And yeah, it's just going to be that much harder for someone to relate to a group of people when they're all the same age and you're like one generation removed from a lot of the things that are meaningful to them in terms of conversation.
Yeah, Bruno, yeah. Bruno, how did you manage to ingratiate yourself with us on our season so well? Because you seem to do a really good job of it. And, you know, as much as Greg gets a lot of crap for, you know, his game, Greg actually did a good job of it as well, fitting in with the younger crew. Is there, because, you know, really, we look at it, you know, Risha went home. A big reason why was because she was older and she couldn't fit in. So was there anything specific that you can think of that these people should be doing or that you did that helped you in your game?
Yeah, you just got to kind of look at my little sidekick here. It's Bowser, by the way, everybody.
All right, what's up, Bowser?
Listen, you just got to adapt, man. That's the thing. It's a game of adapting and everything. And I find the older people do go home first because they're easy out. You know, it's very clicky, and it's a social game. You know, you nailed it, man. You said it, you know. And, so it's easy to kind of target the older people, get rid of them. And, people have that conception that, oh, they're not going to miss them and stuff. But, hey. To fit in, you just gotta, or to kind of, yeah, you just gotta fit in. You gotta adapt and kind of bring yourself, not to say bring yourself down, but you gotta, you know, bring yourself to that mentality. You know, how was I when I was 21 or 22? And just kind of go from there. So you're gonna have to kind of bring yourself back a few years and just kind of blend in. So that's the best advice I can give.
Yeah, and that's why, Bruno, you were a dad in the house, and you managed to do well, and you're not Paul, who was like, hey, Canada, who's ready for the first dad in the house with the towel?
I love when you do that. I love when you do that, man. I love hearing that.
Now,
just mustard
and also,
water.
dude, it's just mustard water. And also, I talked on my last podcast with Allison. I teased that Paul Jackson might be coming on the Rahappy Hour.
Nice.
I can confirm with you guys. Breaking news, while Bruno is
here
on
the air,
this is where breaking news comes. Paul Jackson will be on the show,
nice.
Hopefully, at some point this season. We're still working on it. I have talked to Paul, though. If we can get him, it's gonna be insane, dude. So I think we can. I'm crossing my fingers, guys.
He's a great guy. I met him. I went down to Toronto. I met him. Great guy. His wife's awesome. Great family. Yeah, good dude for sure.
He's a great dude. Paul Jackson.
Insane.
And throwback to the Divergent Veto competition from Big Brother Canada 2. We had the Allegiant one tonight. And that just reminded me of Paul and his being afraid of heights and Arlie helping him down the little zip line. I tweeted out a picture if you guys want to see it. It's amazing. But Paul is just the best. I love Paul Jackson. Alex, tell me about Spider-Gate. Or I don't know, there was some fight over a spider or something on the feeds this week?
Yeah, so that was today, and it really is, like, it's interesting because it worked, intertwined in with, like, what's going on in the game in a weird way, so it actually became more charged than it ever should have been because of that. Tim, over the last few days, he, like, found a spider in the house, and you know how it is in the house, there's nothing to do, so, like, he's, you know, made the spider into a pet, and he's named it Marinara, and he's put it in a jar, and he's, like, hooked it up with stuff, and, like, him and Cassandra have really, like, bonded over the spider. I mean, they already, like, got along, like, the two of them, because they both had kind of quirky senses of humor, but, like, they've spent a lot of time, like, the two of them just hanging out, like, watching the spider this week, and it's been, like, kind of, the last few days, like, there's been a lot of downtime on the feeds anyway, so, like, they've spent a lot of time just chilling with the spider, and so then today... And this is such an interesting role reversal because it was LaVita trying to play a joke that went wrong on Cassandra, which really is just, like, so perfect. You know, this week has been so crazy. But, like, basically, like, LaVita, like, took the spider and, like, put it behind the couch and then, like, told him, like, or like, word got down. She, like, made a joke that she had flushed the spider down the toilet. And so word got down to them that that's what she had done. And, like, Cassandra and Tim, like, really weren't happy about it. They're like, you know, it's one thing, you know, pranks. Like, they'd been doing pranking. Like, they'd been pulling pranks over the last couple days and stuff. And they were like, they'd put, like, barbecue sauce in the shampoo bottles and stuff like that. Like, there'd been some interesting stuff going on the feeds. Like, mouthwash in the, or soap in the mouthwash. They got rumbled with that one. Like,
soap in the mouthwash?
Yeah, they've been doing some crazy stuff. Tim put Vaseline on the toilet seat.
Oh my god.
But yeah, they're really like they're at that point where they're all getting kind of stir crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like every season they just kind of like reach that point. But yeah, so with the spider, like LaVita, it was really weird cuz she just like thought it was a good joke and they just didn't see it that way and it was like the opposite of what Cassandra was like, I was joking, so you should accept that it was a joke. It's like, well, you can't tell someone that something's funny. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make people see things the way you saw them. And so it was like, you know, the roles were reversed, and LaVita really was, like, saying stuff like, well, I was just trying to get in on the jokes like what you guys do. And Cassandra already hates her because she's on the block. Yeah. And LaVita's like, well, let me just tell you. She's like, don't touch me. You know? And so it became... like more than it should have been because of the whole dynamic of LaVita nominating Cassandra, and then Tim is already like LaVita and Nikki had already talked to him about like if he's voting for Cassandra and they don't want him to and they don't feel like he should spend time with her because she's snaky and stuff like that. So then Tim being associated with her with the spider, now they're thinking like, you know, that relates to his vote at the time. And like, you know, it's just, and it upset Nikki, like the whole, you know, she's upset with the way Tim has kind of like reacted to the conversation between her and LaVita and him. And it's just like, it's all kind of like fueled from the same things, you know what I mean? But like little things here and there are just like, you know, instances that can like set off what's basically just a powder keg, like at all times, it seems.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, I'll tell you, in that house, man, you know, you got to be careful when you play things like that because people's emotions are at 150%. You know, when someone gets mad, it's not just, you know, something that might be a little, you know, a little haha chuckle. In that house, you know, it could really, really set someone off. You know, it's, you don't understand, it's like a big pressure cooker in that house. So, you know, it might be fun and stuff, but if someone takes it the wrong way, it can really, you know, blow up. I mean, as you're saying, you know, people are taking it the wrong way, but it's tough, man. That's yeah, you got to be careful when you do things like that because it could definitely go the wrong way.
Yeah, good thing when Godfrey cut Bobby's hair, Bobby was a good sport about Bruno.
Oh my god, man. That's probably my favorite moment in the house, man. And they kept saying, "How is it, Bruno?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's not that bad." And like his hair is like cut up. Oh, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. The best thing I've ever seen, but the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh, I'll try and find a still picture of that and tweet it out because it was. If you missed that on the feeds last year, it was nuts. Bruno, we were talking about Tim a little bit here, and we haven't gotten into him yet. What do you think of Tim's game so far? And do you think he's got what it takes to win this thing?
All right, here's my take on Tim. I think the guy has an amazing, amazing social game, great social game. What I think he had a little bit of an advantage coming in, you know, 2 weeks of safety, a little bit of an advantage. Having that, you know, being from Australia is a huge advantage because, you know, it's something to talk about. And that's the thing that people don't understand how hard it is in that house is to find something to talk about with somebody. You know, when you're with them for 30 days or 20 days, you've pretty much covered everything. So they have that excuse to be like, hey, what's this like in Australia? Or on your season, what was this? They have that like gateway for conversation, which is a huge advantage. So, you know, and he's using it right and he's playing dumb, which is good. And the weird thing is, man, it's like he's telling people like, hey, why don't you go do this? And people are going, hey, man, that's a great idea. Like, I'm going to go do this. Like, he's orchestrating things, and it just comes with ease. I think the guy, he's a decent player. He's making a lot of mistakes, I'm finding. He does make a lot of mistakes, but who doesn't? Man? We all make mistakes. It's Big Brother. You know, nobody's perfect. But, yeah, socially he's doing great. I don't know what it's like right now with the live feeds. The one thing I'm going to say is I'm surprised that this is their week, the first week where they were eligible to get nominated. So there's no safety this week, and their name didn't even come up once. That is crazy. These are the kind of people, they have the experience. They know what it's like to be in that house on day 30, on day 40. They have that experience, which is huge, you know, like the first time around, you have no idea what's going on. But when you're removed and you go back in for a second time, you know what it's like to be. None of these people know what it's like to be in there on day 40. These guys do, so they know how your mind is going to start going, and it's going to start playing games with you, and how, you know, emotionally you're feeling, or how hungry you are, how bored you're going to be, you know, how to pace yourself. And I think they need to get these guys out because they have that huge, huge, huge advantage of knowing what it's like to be at the end game. And like I say, Tim's doing great, not even being mentioned for a nomination when he's finally eligible to be. And yeah, social game's good. I think they're doing great. I think they're doing great. And I don't think anybody really wants to take a shot at them. I think they have a lot of shields, like the brothers in front of them, Dallas, Jared. So to be honest, I think they're going to be there for a long time.
Alex, what do you think about that? With just how things have been unfolding on the feeds, are Tim and Nikki as safe as Bruno's describing?
They definitely seem to be. You know, they're definitely right in the nucleus of this house that is, you know, if you have, like, kind of polarities of Kelsey and Maddie who can't stand each other, and then, like, gradual, like, you know, getting closer towards the middle where you're kind of neutral towards Kelsey and Maddie, they're kind of like, you know, they represent kind of the true middle to a varying degree. Nikki is very loyal to LaVita. She really has been, you know, getting really close with her this week. But Nikki has done a really good job of kind of like creating an identity in the house where I don't think anyone has any interest in quote unquote wasting an HOH on her. You know what I mean? Because she seemingly wants to quit every other day, and she's like, yeah, you know, kind of you know, every time she has a little bit of booze, she kind of, you know, is not, you know, someone to take seriously. So, yeah, why would you take someone like that out? And then Tim is kind of, you know, the other side of the coin where he's, you know, like playing devil's advocate and, you know, and doing, you know, so much that's so seemingly innocent that it's almost the same thing. Like, he doesn't really represent a true target for anybody because he's willing to just get – he's able to – anytime anything is about to come back on him, he's been able to, you know, turn it back towards his favor. The one thing that could bite him is that I think he just, like, is going to want to – he really wants to stir up some trouble and have some fun in there. And that could ultimately – his desire to, like – make great, succeed and make great TV while he does it. Like, it's hard to do everything. You know what I mean? And so that could ultimately catch up with him. Like, right now, as it stands, the vote looks to be like 7-4 to keep Cassandra. But Tim really kind of wants to, like, now switch it up and vote for Christine to make it 6-5 and really just kind of, you know, like, while great TV, while interesting, while it could create a lot of really interesting chaos in the house, like, that's the kind of move that we've seen, like, is more likely to come back and get you in the game than, you know, play out the way you want it to.
Bruno, right now, it's looking like, I mean, we'll see with this Tim thing, but it does look like Cassandra is going to go home. That would make it 3 weeks in a row in which the HOH's initial target does not leave the house. Do you think this is something that can continue, and why do you think this keeps happening?
Yeah, you know what? Again, it goes back to that the head of household is a very vulnerable position. You know, people always think that they have so much power. I've said it before, and they don't, because people, if they're smart, if players are smart, when the HOH says, this is my target, I want them to go home, future house guests, keep that person. That is a shield in front of you. They're going to go back and forth, and it buys you time. Never, ever, ever do what she does. And she makes it very clear, this is my target. They got to go, blah, 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 blah. I always said, you know, the HOH puts them up. The house takes them out. So, you know what? If they keep doing this, it just, every time this happens, it's buying everybody else. You know, realistically, there's about 4 people playing the game right now, and there's about 10 spectators. There's 4 people that their ass is on the line every week, and everyone else is just sitting back and watching the show, which is what you want to do. So they're doing a great job, and if I were them, I would keep the target in the house. It's just, that's what you do. It's the best move to do. And if they can do it again, great. I mean, it makes great TV, and it brings excitement to the show, for sure.
All right, now I'm getting some tweets from this is from @89RazorSkate20. He's the guy who does all the alliance charts on Twitter. Right now, Tim says, "I think I'm voting for Christine to stay, but I need to talk the others." So, or to the others, I guess. So, who knows? Maybe, like Alex said at the top of this thing, it's gonna switch on a dime.
It's crazy.
And we're gonna be back here tomorrow, and it's gonna be a different result. Before we get into the questions, Alex, 2 quick things. One, alliances. Are there any updates? Have there been any new alliances formed? Are we still pretty broad in terms of what's going on right now?
Yeah, it's very general. I mean, there's been some conversation about trying to kind of, you know, like Tim has talked with, you know, Mitch and Joel and kind of Nikki and, you know, Levita and the brothers about kind of controlling the middle and like in varying groups and, you know, like 3 at a time or, you know what I mean? It's very hard to see like big groups get together at this point because there's so many people in the house. But, you know, that, like, someone's going to walk in on you at any given point. It's very hard to have a conversation with this many people in the house for more than, like, 30 seconds without getting interrupted. But, yeah, I mean, that is clearly the middle. Like, Levita doesn't have a vote right now, obviously, but she's very close with Nikki, and Nikki is kind of attached to Tim. Tim is really trying to maintain the middle, and obviously Mitch and Joel and the brothers, to a degree, have already kind of found their way there. So that really is, like, the driving group that is controlling votes right now with, you know, the extremities of, you know, the third wheel / 4 aces, you know, Cassandra and, you know, the Raul, Kelsey, Jared, and then on the other side, the Christine with, like, you know, Maddie, Dallas, Ramsey. So, I mean, basically, you know, it seems like every vote so far is really going to come down to when we finally see, right, you know, the night before the vote, like, say, Mitch and Joel really get together and talk about, like, what's going to happen. And, like, the way they go tends to be the way the house goes so far, and I think this week is going to be no different, really.
It's funny you say that, because in this season, it's the floaters or the middle ground that's controlling the game, and it's scary because the two sides aren't big enough to control the numbers, when in reality, the middle group have the numbers. So they're controlling who goes home, and again, they're making the right move every week by keeping the target in the house. That's the right move. They're playing it smart. And then you have the Joel and Mitch in the middle. I think they're good players. They're smart players. I think they're doing a great job, and they're playing it right. So they're doing good.
I hope those guys team up, because they would be like sort of, you know, that's like my, I think a lot of people are dreaming of that alliance. It would be like, you know, the better version of the Fortress, really. If it's Mitch and Joel, I think that would be pretty sweet. Okay, Alex, quickly here. Showmances, what's the update on what's going on? I know, I believe Jared and Kelsey still haven't, you know, kissed or anything, but I guess technically they're a showmance. Maddie and Nick, though, things have been heating up a little bit.
Yeah, that's like, they're actually kind of kissing and cuddling and stuff a little bit. And it is interesting, because I definitely have heard Maddie make mention of a boyfriend, you know? Like, yeah. So I think his name's Jordan, and she's definitely referenced him a few times. And there was even a... yeah. What's up, buddy? Yeah, no, there was even a line where I think she said something about, like, you know, I really love and miss George. And Dallas said something about, you know, Dallas made some comment about Nick, and she was like, what? And it was like, you know, she didn't catch it, but those of us on the live feeds did. And it was like a little snide remark from Dallas, who's like her ally. And I think that just goes to show why this is the side that keeps losing. You know what I mean? Like, they're wasting their time, like, making cutting remarks at each other, Ramsey and Maddie and Dallas. Like, Maddie's just too busy thinking about how much she can't stand these other girls. And they're just not, they're just a step behind strategically from the other side, who, you know, Kelsey, for all her kind of, you know, faults, she is very driven to get what she wants. And when she decides she wants Cassandra to stay, come hell or high water, she's going to try to make sure she gets it. So I think it's interesting that side is definitely more persuasive. So if the middle wants there to still be two sides, they're going to have to, you know, switch stuff up eventually and pretty soon.
Sorry, you guys are getting a tour of my house. I got to get my charger.
So Bruno's phone is dying, so we'll try. Bruno, we'll try and go quick here, so just in case your phone does die.
All right.
Let's get into the questions here. I will throw well, Bruno, if you don't, can you handle a question while on the go?
You got it, man. I'm listening.
Okay, so here we go. Bruno is, look at this, multitasking. You got to check this out on YouTube. If you're listening to the audio archives, come to Reality TV Wrap-Ups on YouTube. Come to this, you know, about an hour and 5 minutes in, and Bruno is showing his house and answering questions. Quite the specimen, really. Okay, so Bruno, let's throw this one to you. This one is from Tony1996, and Tony says, well, who would Bruno's meat shield be in the BB Can Grand?
All right, you know what? There's a few to choose from. I would have to say my boy Jared. He would be my meat shield, but Tim's a good one. The brothers are a good one. There's so many to choose from, but I would say Jared. Jared would be my first choice, just because he's a big physical threat, and everyone's definitely gunning for him.
Bruno, correct me if I'm wrong, but does it, Jared not have Zach Olenek's voice if Zach had a cold?
You know what, he does. He definitely does.
Cross with Cody from BB16.
Cross with Cody from BB16. There you go. That's what I was saying. Zach and Cody with a cold equals Jared's voice.
I got this phone charging. I'm good now. I'm good.
Okay, so Bruno, crisis averted. Bruno's phone is charging. Hopefully, maybe. And Bruno, he was texting me while his internet was cutting out. There's a truck behind your house, right, Bruno? And it's like messing up with your internet.
Yeah, they're doing road work behind my house, so I guess they must have done something to my internet. So I'm actually not even on Wi-Fi right now. So Jordan, you're gonna get a good bill after this.
Oh jeez, Bruno! Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, man.
No, Twistos. No, it's Twistos good, outside. Man. They're back. Twistos. You can't leave me alone, Bruno.
Okay, Bruno, we will go fast here. I'm so sorry, man.
It's all good. Don't you worry about it, man, at all. I'm just playing with you.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Look at this dedication from Bruno Schefter. Unbelievable. Okay, then I'll give you a quick one then, Bruno. One more, and it comes from Jordan T. Chong on Twitter, at Jordan T. Chong. He says, hey guys, who, if any house guest could replace Arissa Cox as the host of the show, who would you want it to be? Tim? Question mark. Would it be Tim? Tim was pretty good in that veto competition.
Tim's really good. That guy's good, yeah.
So would it be Tim? Would it be the Ginger Ninja? Paul Jackson?
You know what? Tim's the man. Tim, he killed the comp. He's really good. He's a good speaker. He has that, you know, that sexy voice. I could listen to him all day, man, for sure. But nobody can replace our girl Arissa, man. That girl is amazing.
Yeah, Arissa is such a great host, and yeah. You know, we're biased because we've met Arissa and hung out with her, but yeah. She really is awesome.
Amazing.
You know, a lot of these hosts on these shows feel like, at least I feel like this, that they think that they're kind of better than the show or the contestants or like whatever. But Arissa is just like a fan. Like she's a fan 100%. Of the show. She's just such a cool person and just awesome to hang out with. I love Arissa. I think everybody does.
And she watches the feeds and everything, man. So it's
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. Arissa really is great. And if you don't believe me, check out her Twitter. I mean, she's tweeting about it all the time, interacting with people. She's great. Yeah, okay,
cool. You know who else would be good though is Netta. Netta would be, I think she'd be like a more competent, snarky Julie Chen. I think it'd be good.
Ooh, Netta as host. That would be, I could see that. Netta hosting, Netta. I'm trying to think. Honestly, I think Greg, if we trained him to just be like a little like more PC, I think Greg would be a great host.
He'd do a good job.
Ninja Ninja in the building. Here we go, BB Can 5 Bros. Here it is. Sponsored by Zenzu 6.
Oh, for sure.
There we go. Okay, Bruno, we'll get you out of here on this. Who's winning this season, my man?
Who's winning the season? You know, my preseason pick was Ramsey. I like Ramsey. I like Mitch. But who's going to win the season? I got to stick with Ramsey. I'm sticking with him. Ramsey's my boy.
Ramsey, really?
Ramsey's my boy, yeah.
Even though we haven't seen much from him so far.
That's a good thing. And Big Brother, that's a good thing. You don't want to be seen, especially at the beginning of the show. Usually you're being shown for the wrong reasons, usually because you're up to something or your hands are in too many pots. You want to be low-key. You want the big ego. Hey, sorry, man, but you want the egos to go out quick. You want the egos to get in each other's way. The quiet players are the good players. I shouldn't say the good players, but the first few weeks, let everyone else get in each other's way. Sit back, watch the show. When it's time to play, you play. I think he's doing great. He's an athlete. You know what? Some people may, you know, talk about him here and there, but he'll never be a main target, I don't think, for now. He's a great player. I think he's doing well. He understands. He's smart. I think he's in a great spot. I think he's in a really good spot.
There we go. Ramsey is Bruno Schefter ILO's pick. There we go. So here first. The insider is telling us that Ramsey's going to win. So quickly, let's head to Vegas, put your money on Ramsey if you can before the books close, because that's who's winning the season. Okay, guys, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today on the Happy Hour. Really appreciate it. Bruno, appreciate you being so generous with your time and figuring everything out despite all of your technical issues.
Sorry, man. I'm so bad at this.
No, no worries, man. You did. I think, you persevered. You overcame some adversity, and we got through it just great. So,
Twistos.
Yeah, we'll blame Twistos, man.
Man, I'm telling you.
So, Bruno, before we let you go, you're doing Dick at Night this season, so plug that.
Yeah, you know what? You can catch me every Thursday at Dick at Night. I think you go to evildick.com, I believe it is, and sub there. The guy's amazing. We just talk game, man. Every Thursday night, check it out. I'm loving it. He's a great dude, and I'm glad he asked me to do it with him.
Evil Dick, he's a great dude. Dick and I, check it out. Follow Bruno on Twitter as well. He's at BBCan3Bruno. Alex, hashtag that comes to mind for tonight, my friend. Anything?
Blame Twistos?
Hashtag blame Twistos. All right, there we go. Hashtag blame Twistos. Hashtag tour of Bruno's house, maybe. We could do a few things. But for real, we'll go blame Twistos. So tweet myself. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Alex, he's at Alex Kidwell. And Bruno, he's at BBCan3. Bruno, tweet us. Use the hashtag. Let us know what you thought of today's show. Also, don't forget, leave your comments at robisawebsite.com. Love to see what you guys have to say. I always read your comments, good or bad. So please let me know what you guys think of the show. If there's something we could be doing better. Always appreciate your feedback. And speaking of feedback, if you could leave a review for me as well, that would really help out my show and would help the Happy Hour grow and Reality TV Rahapup. So you can go to either robiswebsite.com/rahapups, that's RHAPUPS, and leave a review there for the podcast and for all the podcasts on our network. Or you can go to robiswebsite.com/rahapyhour, that's happy hour with an R at the front. That's just my show. And if you leave a review for my show, you have a chance at winning a prize, a Jordan Parhar-related prize that I will announce at the end of the season. Three people will win these prizes, and if you already have submitted a review, your name is going in the draw, so don't worry, you don't have to do anything else. But if you haven't done it yet, If you want to help me out, that would mean a lot to me, so I would really appreciate that if you could do so. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast there as well. Okay, so tomorrow we will be back live after the eviction. We think Christine is going home, but it could be Cassandra. We don't really know yet, so we'll find out. We'll see what happens. Join us live. We'll be here probably at about 9:15 p.m. Eastern after the episode. I'll be live on Blab with Brent Wolgamott, Taryn Armstrong, and Alex Kidwell. We'll break down the episode for you, get into the HOH, make some predictions, take your questions. Should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to seeing you guys there. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. For Bruno Aiello and Alex Kidwell, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag blame Twistos. We'll talk to you soon. Man. Take care.
Take care, guys. Take it easy. Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV.